This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I just bought a plane ticket to fly to a country I've never been to meet a girl I've never seen in person. And we're going to go on a first date, and it's for 30 days together. Like, it just eventually it hit me like, yeah, is this really happening?
You are listening to the Don't Be a Stranger podcast. On each episode, I'll be travelling across the UK to interview members of the general public anonymously on various topics that crop up in all of our lives. Psychological studies have even suggested that when in conversation with a stranger, they can actually reveal more information than to someone in their own social circle. So whilst I traipse across the UK in locations such as parks, cafes, seasides and high streets, you can sit back, relax and listen to the tales and perspectives of the members of our general public. Today's episode is slightly different to normal as I met these strangers at a club in an island in the Philippines. They shared with me their wild story where they met on Zoom, became boyfriend and girlfriend before ever meeting, and flew to the other side of the world to go on a 30-day first date. For the purpose of this episode, John and Steph have agreed to be named. And now that we've all returned home, for John and Steph, that is over 5,000 miles from each other. We all met back up on Zoom at the place where it all began. So what would you do if you met your match, but they lived on the other side of the world? Do you guys mind explaining how you two met?
Yeah, you want to start, Steph?
Yeah, go for it. Okay, so we met online. John's over in the US and I'm here in the UK. We both did a course. It was a Tony Robbins course, basically like a giant Zoom on steroids is the only way I can describe this. This is like a week-long webinar thing, and it's all about self-growth and sort of goal setting, and it focuses on every area of your life, your career, your personal goals and relationships. So we both kind of set a bit of a vision for the perfect partner during this course. And then afterwards, John reached out to see if anybody wanted to keep in touch, just a bit of accountability for the stuff we learned. And yeah, I was like, yeah, me. So we had a few sort of Zoom calls and just really, really got on from the word go. And then, yeah, that's effectively how we met.
So I didn't know that part of it. So the where you had to map out your perfect partner. So did it kind of describe each other then?
Yeah, but what's so funny is we didn't really realize that for quite a while, because that was never, you know, the reason behind why we were talking. So we were just talking about all sorts of life stuff. And actually at the time John was seeing someone and I think I was single when we first started talking, and then I started seeing someone. So it was never, that was never really on the cards. And obviously he was all the way over in another country.
And it's funny, there's actually so many more like little details. So the event we attended was called Date with Destiny. And so in this crazy big Zoom call, occasionally they'll call on people. You can like virtually raise your hand and they'll put you on the main screen in front of like the thousands of people. And I was lucky enough to get called, particularly on a day dedicated to relationships. And the segment was about single people. So I was like seeking advice about relationships. And so that's when I reached out and I was like, hey, I'm that guy who got called on. I'm looking for friends. And that's when I got that message from Steph.
Oh my God. So I knew that you had met. For the listeners, we met in the Philippines at a club.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really hear you that much. I got the basics of what happened and what a cool story it was, but I don't know these little details. So I didn't realize that it was actually like the stuff you were discussing was also about relationships. You met on a Zoom call. Mm-hmm.
We did.
You reached out to each other, and then what happened?
Then we had our first call, and Steph, I'm excited to hear your take on it, but mine is like, we hit it off so well. Like, I felt such a strong connection with you. And again, at this point, it was with the intent of like being friends. I was like, this person lives on the other side of the world. We were in relationships. And so I remember I kept thinking, I love this person's energy and positivity and advice so much. I was like, I need this person in my life like much more.
The one thing I remember was because of the time difference. So John's 8 hours behind. So we would always have a call right before I was about to go to bed. And I just remember my energy after I spoke to him. I was so pumped up. I was like, I am ready to run a marathon. I can't go to sleep after these calls.
John's given Steph insomnia for 3 months.
It's funny. God. It's funny that you say that because there's going to be a sleep little part to this. I was struggling with my sleep and I shared that with Steph and I was like, yeah, I'm trying all these things. I can't figure it out. And you're like, okay, we're going to have a call about this. I get on the call and she's like, welcome to Steph School 101. She literally gave me a 2-hour call, like working through like what my sleep problems are, like what my sleep story has been. Here's what the advice, like all the scientific advice says on this topic. And yeah, at that point I was like, oh my gosh, she really cares so much.
John, it's probably because she's had to read it all up herself because she's been up all night.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. That makes sense.
I was like, I'm an expert on this now.
I knew it.
That is so funny. So when all of this is going on, did you sort of, you, John, you've just said you thought it was more of a friendship thing because you live in LA for the people that are listening, and Steph, you're in England. So obviously you're a very long distance away from each other. Did you guys think you would ever even meet at friends at this point when all of this is going on? Like, what was going through your head?
Yeah. So for me, I never thought we would meet in person. I just thought he was my American self-improvement buddy that we just talked, you know. And it's so funny because looking back, I think that was a great thing because we were both so relaxed and casual with each other. You know, neither of us had that, you know what it's like when you're single and you're dating, you kind of everybody has that this is date me like version of themselves.
Oh, I can relate. Yeah. single Becca knows. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was always just so authentic from the beginning because we genuinely were just amazing friends. And then I don't know exactly when it was for you, John. We'd always arrange these calls and we'd kind of set them up a few weeks ahead, or you know, when we finished one we'd say, oh yeah, let's talk again, let's get a date of the diary so we can have another catch up. And then it went from these kind of relatively kind of official scheduled, you know, dates to texting every day. We were just spontaneously calling and it was just getting a lot more kind of casual. And yeah, before I knew it, John was somebody that I wanted to go to for any advice, that, you know, for anything that was happening in my life. Yeah, and I just remember thinking that certain things went on and I was like, I need to get John's opinion on this.
I feel like that's when you know someone's like meant to be in your life, when something happens and it's they're the first person you want to tell. I feel like that is it's a green flag for sure.
Exactly.
I guess one thing happened before this. We both ended the relationships we were in.
Oh yeah, that's a crucial part.
Yeah.
Just, hops over that. Just brush that bit aside. Right. Yep.
And we both said, hey, we're talking so much, we love this, we should go on a trip at some point. And we both had Japan in mind. Japan was closed due to COVID at the time. And so we were looking, we're like, okay, well, maybe we'll meet in maybe a year, maybe a year and a half, depending on when things open and we have time. And then I feel like it was a couple of weeks after that, or a week. And Steph was like, or I'm going to be traveling in Asia for 4 months. You should join me in the Philippines.
I have to be honest, I was not expecting you to say yes. I was just like, it'll never go for that, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I just remember you didn't jump and say yes, you just didn't say no. You kind of like paused. And I was like, oh, he's thinking about it.
So yeah, John, what was going through your head when Steph's asked you come to Asia with me? Like, what is going through your head?
So at this point, I'm just feeling like this is insane. We went from maybe meeting in a year to maybe we'll meet in just like 2 months to like, wait, the last time I went out of the country was like 5 years ago, traveling abroad with someone like, and going on this trip is like a big risk. Do I have the funds for like a million questions? But I do remember like there was like a resounding feeling deep inside of like, you have to say yes to this, like figure out a way to do this for sure. And so it was actually, I think it was literally the next day, Steph, when I was at a party with my friends. They're having like a family celebration. And this is a bit of who I am. I stand up on a table and I shout to like 20 people and I'm like, everybody, should I fly across the world to go meet a girl for the first time or something like that? And resoundingly, everyone was like, that is the worst idea I've ever heard of my life.
No way. I thought they were going to say yes. My friends would have gone, yeah.
So my best friends said yes. And then I didn't know like most of the people there. And so most of the people were like, this sounds insane, man. Like, you should really rethink this.
When I was trying to explain it to my friends, I was aware how crazy it sounded, but it was so difficult to convey the level of connection that we had at that point. So by this time, how many months was it, John? Was it about that we were talking? It was at least 6 months, maybe more.
Yeah.
Because I think we met in the December, January time. And then this was August, I think.
July. So July. I think about half a year.
Yeah. So, you know, of course, the nature of our conversations were always really, really deep. You know, we were talking a lot about sort of personal aspects about ourselves. And so I felt like I really knew him as a person and I absolutely trusted him. And I just had such a strong gut feeling that we were going to meet somewhere, somehow. To everybody else that isn't familiar with, it just sounds like a stranger from the internet. And, you know, red flags are going off for everyone everywhere. Is this safe? You know, are you really sure? And then, of course, all the questions, you know, even if he is a great guy, what are you going to do after that? So it was, there was definitely a lot of doubt with all our friends and family, I would say. But yeah, there was never a second that I had any questions. I was like, I just got to meet him.
Yeah. She said that so well of it was hard to convey the connection you can build with someone you met just online and virtually to even your friends. And I think there was just a lot of like assumptions or people had like their own perceptions of what that looks like. So I remember even at my party or that party I went to, my friend's sister, I think her comment, she's like, John, this is a really expensive booty call that you're doing. And I laughed so hard. I was like, and then it just hit me too. I was like, wow, people have their own like assumptions here and perceptions and like everyone's like, yeah, putting their own kind of spin or lens on it. And so, yeah, it was interesting. Eventually, like our closest friends got it. Like they understood that we were willing to take this risk and try something a little different.
Am I right, John, in saying neither of us had actually said that this is a date? Like, what was the point at which it turned romantic as opposed to we're meeting as friends?
This is wild. There's so many. We haven't shared these details with someone else, actually.
I'm honored, guys. I really am.
I love this part. For me, it was, and you actually sent me this message when I was hanging out with friends at that party. Steph did something amazing. She was like, hey, there's a lot to think about for this decision. It's kind of messy. There's finances, there's time away from work, there's all these things. And she's like, how about we just simplify it and focus on our why? Like, why would we want to do this? And if that's powerful enough, then that'll make the how and everything else kind of melt away. And Steph, you shared your why first and you were like, for me, this is about spending time with someone I've developed a really strong connection for and getting to bring like our sense of adventure and playfulness and growth to the real world. And then the last thing you said that really hit me, you were like, and I just feel like I'm destined to meet you.
Yeah.
And at that point, I saw her say that and I pretty much just doubled down. I was like, I have the same feeling. Like, I think we're supposed to meet. Let's do this. I'm all in.
It's so cool. So you booked your flights and you went.
Yeah. But then first of all, before we booked the flights, we had to decide how long we wanted the date to be. Which is another great story.
So this is, I'll just interrupt here. So John, you have a YouTube channel and you've actually made some videos on this whole story and you've called it, I think it's brilliant. It's like the 30 day first date.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
is what this is.
So yeah, so we agreed to the 30 day first date. And I think that's when it really hit me at one point, probably like weeks leading up to it. I was like explaining it to my friends. I'm like, I just bought a plane ticket to fly to a country I've never been to meet a girl I've never seen in person. And we're going to go on a first date and it's for 30 days together. Like it just, eventually it hit me like, yeah, is this really happening?
And it did. And I witnessed it.
Which was wild.
when you hopped on that flight, what was going through your head? Did you have any doubts about it? Or were you guys like, I know this person's, we're going to vibe, even though you hadn't met in real life before?
We spoke a lot about it because we were very careful not to put pressure on the other person, because we were like, you never know how you're going to feel in person together. So it was kind of funny because we said it so much that we kind of just made this agreement that it is a given now that, you know, we weren't expecting anything from each other. We're just going to see how we are together. And we knew that we get on so well as friends. And we said like a house on fire, but they don't use that saying in the US.
Say not. That's not a saying.
No.
No, a house on fire is a bad thing over here.
Well, it is here too, but it has a different meaning.
Depends on the context. I knew that we would have an amazing time. I knew that if things really went that badly, we didn't have to spend the whole time together, you know, but we just kept checking in with each other and saying, you know, we made it very clear that we were romantically interested, but that there was never any pressure or never any, you know, neither of us wanted to force it. We just wanted to go with it and just see, really.
Mm. What about you, John?
So I felt the same way. I think we did a really good job of taking the pressure off. Maybe the 30-day commitment was... like a little crazy to like to also couple with the idea of about to share, but like we really thought like, hey, look, if someone's not feeling the right connection, like we travel as friends and we like are still going on an amazing adventure and we explore together and do all this cool stuff.
Yeah, and I think for me, I found John the easiest person in the world to communicate with. So I was never worried. Like I always knew that I would feel comfortable to say if I wasn't feeling something or if I was, I just felt like I was going to be safe with him.
Communication is so key in a relationship. Like I've been going up to people in the street and going, what do you think the secret to a strong relationship is? And I'll ask you guys as well, but you have sort of touched upon communication and that's all you guys had for the first however long of your relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
So like you had to nail that part at the beginning in order for this to even happen, to organize a trip to Asia together. That's all about communication. So I guess that is like one thing that you guys have had from the get-go. So you decided to come to the Philippines and you've landed on your planes and you're there. And then what? So what was the first impressions like?
Well, just before we go on to that, there's one bit that we realized we missed. And mm-hmm. that is a kind of funny part to the story. We had a really cute virtual date where John asked me to be his girlfriend before we'd ever met in person.
We both dressed up and we cooked pad thai, like the same recipe at the same time virtually. And like, it was
my
fun.
Dinner time and John's lunch time.
Of course, the time differences on a virtual dinner date. So I did actually see this in your video and I was going to ask about this. So that's such a bold move, asking someone to be your girlfriend that you've never met. From both sides of that, John, how did you know? Yeah. Steph should be my girlfriend. Like I want her to be, if she says yes, she is the one for me, when you haven't met her. And Steph, how did you know I'm going to say yes when you hadn't met John?
Yeah. Great question. John, you can go first.
Right. For me, it was that our connection kept getting stronger and closer. And my gut at that point was just screaming at me, like, this is exactly the path you're supposed to be on. Like, take this leap, have this experience, do this. And so I realized that it was a season of bold moves. And I was like, well, F it then. Like, this is going to be a romantic date adventure we're going on. Like, I feel strongly about you and I want to explore our relationship, so will you be my girlfriend? And that was it. And she said no, of course.
Imagine that's just where the interview ends. Yeah. Didn't work out.
Sorry, and for me, yeah, such a great question. I kind of overlapping really with what John said, but for me, I knew it's so funny because to somebody else listening, I imagine not meeting in person is a massive, massive thing that obviously you need to make sure you're okay with before you decide to be someone's girlfriend. But to me, that almost seemed so tiny because everything that I knew I wanted in a guy, I knew John had. I can see that he's the person that I want, you know, the communication was there, the trust. I felt like he was my best friend already. I was like crazy attracted to him. So just not having met in person was really just the tiny, like the last little box that needed ticking, even though it was kind of a big one. So I just felt the same. I was like, why not? We'd already said to each other that we weren't exploring anything else until we'd explored this, because we were really serious about it. So it just made sense, really. When he asked me, I was like, yeah, okay.
It's one of those things that it comes when you least expect it, I think. And that's what happened with you two, is you didn't force anything. You weren't like, I'm trying to get a relationship out of this. And you tried to like fit this person into your puzzle. It just sort of naturally fit in. Yeah.
So, you know, we've both been in relationships that were really not right for us. And, you know, a parallel for us both was that we'd spent too long in them. So we kind of done the work, and we were very, very clear exactly what we wanted and how we wanted to feel and how we wanted to be treated. And I think just the very act of getting so clear about that was a huge step, because I think we all kind of know what we want. But just the detail of it really, really helped, I think.
And I don't know if a lot of people really look into it, really, unless you're a really thoughtful person. I don't think a lot of people, obviously, you know what you want, but you don't really like evaluate it or analyze it this much at the beginning. But I feel like it's actually been like a big strength for you too.
And it's something I am such an advocate for this now. Like, maybe it can look different for different people, but I think people should really get clear on what they want. And Steph, you said it well. At least my kind of history on this was, I was in a few relationships that were just really not the right match and actually pretty unhealthy. And so that eventually led me to realize, like, okay, I now have deal breakers. Here are things I cannot have in a relationship. And then I think it took me another like year or two for that to evolve into, okay, here are actually traits I'm looking for in a partner. And then fast forward to what that crazy webinar walked us through, which is like, okay, just beyond like a list of traits, like, how do you want to feel in a relationship? Like, how do you want to look at each other? How do you want to like spend the day together? What are passions you share? What are passions you have alone? Like every little detail of it. And I think that's just such a powerful practice for getting clarity on what you want.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't actually realize how much this whole seminar has really shaped it until we've actually jumped on this call, but it's really interesting. But it's definitely, when I've hopped into relationships, it's not something that I've really even considered at the beginning, but that makes the foundations. That's so important. So it's quite a cool thing that you've done. And it's good advice, John, that you've just given there, really.
Thanks.
Shall we continue on with the story? So we're at the airport. So that initial, I might have already asked, but the initial, when you saw each other, what was it like? Did you guys look how you thought you were going to look? Obviously, on a screen, that's one thing. And I've had internet friends before where we've like FaceTimed and then we meet in real life. And I found it very weird associating a face with like a body. That was one thing that I've found very bizarre, and it took a bit of time to get used to. So how did you find the seeing each other in real life? Like, what was your first impressions? What went through your head?
Yeah, you said that so well, Becca. I think anybody who's had any experience where you've, even whether you've dated someone from an online dating app or you've FaceTimed them or whatever, it's never, your brain just draws up an image of somebody, and it's almost never exactly that when you see them in person. It's really weird, isn't it? It's just always that strange feeling of like, oh, this is what you're like in 3D. So I remember my first initial thought.
John's sitting there like, what is she going to say? You're like, to be honest, it didn't meet my expectations. No, I'm joking.
His hair wasn't as shiny as I wanted it to be.
Sorry, carry on, Steph.
Brilliant. Yeah. The power is all mine now. No, I was honestly going to say the complete opposite. Like, I walked around the corner and I remember thinking, oh my God, yes, he is as good looking in person as I am. It's still weird and different, like being with someone in person. But I just remember, and John filmed it obviously for his videos, and I watch it back and I'm like, I'm always thinking, I can tell how awkward I was. Like, I didn't really feel that awkward at the time, but I just remember I was just speechless. I just didn't know what to say. I was like, I can't believe I'm finally in here in, you know, with you in person.
I don't think I'd be able to speak, to be honest. I think you've done pretty well.
I honestly just didn't know what to say. Like, I was just like, what were you, here you are, like, you're in front of me. And obviously, because, you know, from the time that we planned the trip, so all of the story that we told, there was quite a long waiting period before we actually got to go on it. So this whole time we were just imagining what it was going to be like. So it was very surreal to actually have that moment happen that you've kind of envisioned so many times. So yeah, I just remember taking it all in and you just could not wipe the smile off my face. My cheeks were aching.
It's funny. You don't get to see this like in the videos or the behind the scenes stuff. So I like got there. I was there a couple hours early in the airport in general. So I hung out for a bit. And then I actually went to go wait by like where all the arriving flights are coming. But I went there way too early. I waited for like an hour there. I had my camera set up. I'm like standing there nervously. And like 40 minutes goes by. And I'm like, why did I do this to myself? I should have just sat down and relaxed. So then I see you come around the corner. And of course, I think you're gorgeous. And Steph said this really well. It's so hard to describe what it feels like to meet someone after you've only known them through a screen. And it's weird because like from a virtual connection to like what it means to have like an in-person connection, but then also just like what someone looks like. So like we knew what we each other looked like in general, but then it's like, it really hits you. You're like, wow, that doesn't translate to like, this is going to sound so dumb and obvious. Like experiencing someone in real life is like a one of a kind thing. Like you can't do it virtually.
You create an image in your head, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm, they're in the flesh, and it is a really bizarre feeling. How important do you think the emotional connection is in your relationship, and how important is the physical?
Good question. I think both are really important. And you're pointing out, Becca, like we kind of went through unintentionally a weird experiment where we essentially took the physical out of it completely and only had time to build a emotional connection. And the biggest comment I got, which I think Steph did too, which is everyone was like, are you sure she's not a catfish? Like, how do you know?
Yeah, we've all seen MTV. But you were.
It really helped because he has his own YouTube channel. And, you know, obviously you can look on someone's Instagram and get a feel for the sort of person they are and, you know, the fact that they are real. But also he would call me when he was with his friends. And his friends were brilliant. They would like steal the phone off of him and and talk to me one-on-one. And I actually built, you know, a relationship with a couple of his closest friends as well, which was so nice. I felt like I didn't just know him and the version of him that was coming off in our one-on-one calls, but like seeing him when he was out. And it would always be, he would be really drunk because it would be my Sunday morning and his Saturday night or something. So hiding any part of yourself then. So.
Yeah, you're making me realize as we tell this, like it's easy for it to be distilled into like, we met online and we felt the connection and we made a crazy decision, but like there were actually a ton of little details and like relationship building and communication, as you pointed out, Becca, that went into the whole process.
I'm gonna move over to, I mean, you can tell me what happened in the Philippines, but to be honest, I want to recommend the listeners to actually go and watch your videos. John makes such cool videos on this whole 30-day first date. And I feel like seeing the actual visuals of it is gonna be better than describing it. But overall, how was the Philippines?
Yeah, the short version, and we'll save the juicy parts of the videos, is, so it was 30 days. On the first day, it felt like everything we were imagining for this trip. And then on the way home, we were hanging out at the beach and we climbed up on these boats that they pulled up on the shore. And then I jump off one of these boats and it's just all in the sand. So I'm like, I'm not worried about it. But I jump down and I feel like the worst pain in my left heel. And we're a little drunk at this point. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's not so bad. I help her down and we go home and I have this really disgusting deep gash in my foot. And so kind of to summarize the rest of it, like that just changed the entire trip. So it took like a couple of days, it just in bed healing. We went to the doctor twice by the end of the trip. We were ourselves, which I really loved. Like we were optimistic and positive. And at one point we're like, no problem. If we need to heal for 2 to 3 weeks, we'll do it. And then we get some fun at the end. Week by week, we were realizing the injury was so much worse than we realized. And so this whole time, we are like, we're doing our best to still travel to places and we're meeting really interesting people. And everyone's asking us, like, have you jumped off? Well, like, yeah, you met so many people there. They're like, have you jumped off the waterfalls? And have you swam with all the schools of fish and all this? And we're like, no, not yet. Hopefully soon, though.
That's so sad. But I feel like, although it's not great, obviously you would have rather it to have not happened. No one wants to have that happen to them. But if anything, the fact that you've gone through something like that so early on and just powered on through and stayed positive, I feel like that's just made you stronger. Like, you know, when people go on, really awful example, but Love Island, and they've met in tropical paradise. So obviously that person might not be the right person for them.
Yeah.
But they are in paradise. Mm. Therefore, you're in this magical little world and you think they are, but then they step out of that and they're actually not. So maybe it actually was a good thing that you've kind of, it wasn't all plain sailing and amazing. And then you've sort of gone in when it's gone wrong and it still worked and you guys are still really strong. I feel like that actually at the time, obviously not ideal, but when you look back at it, it's like, could have actually been a blessing if anything.
Yeah, she did say that perfectly, didn't she? Yeah, I agree. And I just remember that after it happened, because we thought you were going to be off, you know, off your feet for maybe a couple of weeks. And I remember thinking, thank goodness we made it for 30 days because we're still going to get a week or two at the end where you're not injured. But it just didn't heal the whole time,
did it really?
Yeah, so it
ended up taking
two
full months before I could walk like totally normal.
Oh my God.
About just 1 month. So the trip ended and I was like, I can wear shoes again and they don't hurt. Oh, they hurt only a little bit. So by the trip ending, we were able to do a little bit more. But you said that perfectly, Becca. It took me a while, Lisa, to get here. I think you were there earlier trying to give me your wisdom. But it was absolutely a blessing in disguise. We realized in hindsight, like, it made us slow down. It gave us like a lot of real quality time, honestly, just like sitting in our hotels, like making the most of our time. And I think that's when we actually had like our funniest moments, our deepest connections, like, and our best time. So it did make me wonder, like, if we were actually just like, go, 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 super busy, we probably wouldn't have had all that.
If you went into it and you were doing the best things, you've set the stakes very high and it makes it hard to top. Like, I went on a date in Bali. My standards are so high now, I don't know how I'd ever beat it. So like, it's impossible. It's actually impossible to beat. So actually having that, you're right, it just made you slow down, which, and sort of live a normal life in the Philippines for a couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah. And really showed us how we handle like a really stressful situation together. Mm. And this is where I thank Steph all the time. And I will continue to thank her for the rest of all ages, because you rose to the occasion. We won't go into the detail of it, but what we did after that, about a month later or 2 months, Steph did some more solo traveling. Mm. And then because we felt like we didn't quite get all the experiences we were looking for, Steph decided to fly out to LA to see me 2 months later. And so we had a 50-day second date, actually. So it was really amazing.
And am I right? You've also, is that a video as well you've done as well on your YouTube?
We're gonna be releasing it soon. Yeah.
So probably by the time this episode's out, I'll be able to link it all so people can check that out as well. What do you think the main takeaways are from the 30-day first date? Like, what have you gained from it? And what do you think the main lessons have been from it?
So from the picture overall, do something crazy if you have a good gut feeling about it, would be my advice, whilst obviously being very safe and cautious. I think the lessons for me were, because I was really true to myself and really authentic, and that got me to the position that we're in today. And yeah, that's a huge takeaway from me. Is it just sounds so cliche, but you know, when someone's looking to get in a relationship, to say be yourself, it sounds like the most generic thing you could possibly say, but it is, there's a reason that everyone says it, you know, because when you're trying to be the right person that somebody else wants, it might go great, but then, you know, that's gonna filter down after a while, you know, you're not gonna be able to keep that up. Whereas yeah, I think people spend, and when I say people, I mean probably me in my past as well, spent too long kind of too focused on what somebody else wants and is looking for. And it was really the time that I was like ruthlessly, unapologetically myself, that, you know, that I found the best thing. And you just don't get to that level unless you are pretty vulnerable and you do kind of share really deep things about yourself. So yeah, that's a big one for me.
Yeah, I'll just add two things. One, we kind of debriefed a little bit afterwards and kind of reflected on like, how did this happen and how did we get here? And I remember like three steps really stood out to me. We realized this could be applied to like finding whatever, like the partner of your wildest dreams, kind of like, or like really finding the person you want to be with. And the three steps we came with were like, one, you have to get really clear with what you want. And thankfully we had that whole like relationship vision exercise. And then two, put yourself in the places to meet the people who fit that vision. And so once again, we were grateful enough to be in that same webinar and that Facebook group where we met. And then the last one, which Becca, you called out way early on, is communication. Like, can you actually communicate what your vision is and what you want in a relationship, and now see if that fits what the other person wants? And then pretty much just take it from there, like grow together, keep communicating and see how it works out. So that was a big one.
Such a cool story. Obviously, both of you have been in like relationships that haven't worked out, and now you sound like you're in a very happy and healthy relationship. But I normally ask people what advice you would give to someone that is currently in that situation where it's all gone tits up and they haven't found their person yet. And they're sort of in that horrible, like, am I ever going to find the right person for me? And now you guys are on the other side of it. Do you know, would you have any advice for someone that is in that situation?
That's such a good question. And I resonate with that a lot, because I was in really unhealthy relationship for 6 years. And then I was single for 4 years after that. So I very much know the struggles of a single person. It's tough, you know, and don't get me wrong, I loved being single. I love the independence, but, you know, it is lonely sometimes, you know, and it's hard. You have to take a lot of rejection. You have to do a lot of work. So my advice to anybody in that situation would be the same advice that I would have given to myself, is do the work, you know. Don't just try and wait for chance to bring you the perfect thing. I think the best thing that you can do is address all of the issues in yourself. And, you know, if you've had things go wrong in previous relationships, or if you're in a relationship that's not working, you know, listen to your gut is a huge one, but also don't put all of the onus on the other person to be perfect for you. You know, you really have to face whatever is showing up for you in your relationship that's not working and deal with it. And, you know, whether you end that relationship or you work on that and that actually fixes it, either way, I think that the process of that always takes longer than we want. So you have to be patient, but it's so worth it, because, you know, once you have taken a bit of responsibility for your side of things, because none of us are perfect, you know, it's always a two-way street. And even for me, it would have been easy for me to blame things on the other person, because I think they did things that were more textbook inappropriate. But I still like to kind of stand within my own responsibility, and I know that I shouldn't have, you know, there was something missing for me inside of myself that caused me to accept that standard for so long. And that's what I really needed to address. So I think, yeah, really being brave and facing it and being patient and absolutely having faith that it's going to work out for you in the end. I think that's one thing that really carried me through, is I knew I was going to have the perfect guy eventually. And now I found him.
That's too cute.
But, you know, even as perfect as it feels with John, there is really no such thing as an absolutely perfect relationship. We are both very much willing to do the work whenever something comes up, and we care so much about the other person that we want to show up as the best version of ourselves. And I think that's the game changer, is not all about the other person. It's about who you want to be for that person.
Wow. I couldn't have said that better, I don't think, Steph. Fair play.
Thank you.
I'm speechless. No, I think that's exactly what someone who is feeling pretty shit right now needs to hear, to be honest. John, did you have anything?
Yeah, I just wanted to echo two quick things. One is, as she said, like, no relationship is perfect. Our story sounds adventurous and romantic and insane, but like, we still had to deal with some real struggles and stresses. And right now we live in different countries, so we're still talking about our next steps on that. And we're both going through some career transitions. So it's to say, like, everyone deals with their own issues too. Like, that's going to be a natural part of relationships. The other part, Steph, that I love that you said is absolutely doing the work. And so that really matches like with what I said about having the right vision. The vision's a big part, but then like, who do you need to become to attract that type of person into your life? And what kind of work do you have to do? And I totally applaud you, Steph, of like saying that both sides have work to do in every relationship. And so like, I was also in a 6-year unhealthy relationship, but I brought some unhealthy traits to that too. And what that looked like on my side was things like codependency and speaking up for your needs. And so absolutely, Steph, you nailed it. Like, take the time to think about how you need to grow, do the work, and whatever form it comes, read books, go to therapy, talk to your friends, and trust the process.
What's really next for you guys? Obviously, your whole sort of, you're trying to not put pressure on things, which I understand. And there's nothing worse than people going, so when are you doing this? And when are you moving out and all of that? But have you guys sort of considered how you're going to manage this now that you live in LA and Steph, you live in England? Sort of, how are you managing it? And are you going to sort of carry on doing that? I'm just being really nosy now.
I'm sure a lot of people will be wondering as well. But it's so nice of you, Becca, to acknowledge that, because it is a question we do get a lot, you know.
Yeah, and you don't have to have an answer. No, you definitely don't have to have an answer.
We kind of do. I mean, I was just going to say, even from the very first day in the Philippines, we totally weren't prepared for this, were we, John? But because everybody could see that, you know, I'm from England, they could hear a mile off from our accents that we weren't from the same country. They heard where we were from and they just sort of say, okay, well what next? And we were like, we've only just got here together. Just give us a chance. We don't know yet.
I guess the question I'm really asking is maybe not so much what next, but more, how is it going now you're back at home and you're doing long distance? Like, is it working? Is it something that you can keep up? Is more, I think, what I'm trying to ask, rather than when are you moving sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the honest answer is it's tough, especially when, as John said, we've both got a lot going on in our personal lives, and it's kind of, it's difficult, not only with the distance, but also the time difference, as we mentioned. And we kind of had a plan from fairly early on. I think we made this plan when we were in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. We decided we weren't going to change our lives in one after two dates, even though they were very, very long dates. We decided that after the Philippines, I was going to go and visit John in LA, and then he was going to come here to the UK. So we're kind of sticking with that plan before we made any massive decisions. To answer your question, it's not all plain sailing. It's definitely difficult, you know, wanting to be there and wanting to support each other, but logistically it's pretty hard. So it's definitely not without its challenges, but I think we're both just very grounded in, you know, at this point, I kind of feel like we've already been through so much together. I have, you know, every confidence in our strength as a couple, and I'm so excited for the next adventure and for all the things that are going to come for us. So yeah, even though it's difficult in the moment, there's no point at which I feel rattled or, you know, worried about our relationship, because again, we just keep communication really strong.
Yeah, I guess you built that up so strongly at the beginning that you can maintain it now. I just think a lot of people are very skeptical when they hear about, I'm sure you've probably experienced it, like, so people either will be like, wow, that's amazing, or like, oh, long distance or something like that. But I think you two are, what you're going to show without putting too much pressure on it is that if you build the communication up at the beginning, obviously doing long distance isn't going to be easy, it's not always going to be paradise, but it is doable, and you can still have a healthy relationship with someone on the other side of the world.
People are asking us crazy questions like, who's going to move? Who's going to change their life? We're like, why don't we just simplify this? We're going to have a date together in a place we've never been. And then I'm going to see what your life is like. You're going to come see what my life is like. And we'll keep talking from there. We'll like make the decision. Taking the pressure off and just simplifying it, I think really helped.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've just realized, of course, you still haven't been to England yet. That's amazing. You're probably one of the healthiest relationships I've seen in a while, which is crazy because you live so far from each other. So it's such a cool story. But thank you so much for sharing it as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on.
It's been really fun to talk about all the details. As John said, we've never really sat down and told someone the story start to finish because people in our lives have kind of got them, you know, got the snippets as they've gone along. Yeah. So this has been really fun.
What an amazing modern day love story. If you want to check out the visuals of the 30 day first date, or just take a look at John's incredibly motivational and inspiring YouTube channel, head over to the show notes where all the links are waiting for you. To see more content and advice from the strangers that I meet along the way, make sure to follow Don't Be a Stranger podcast on Instagram and TikTok, and check out our website, don'tbeastranger.co.uk. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll catch you on next week's episode.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website at im-listening.co.uk.